Welcome to The Word for Today, broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we find God encouraging Jacob to go down to Egypt as we pick up in Genesis, chapter 46, verse 2, as Pastor Chuck Smith provides us with the details.
God spoke to Israel in the visions, and he said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And so in a night vision, he heard his name being called Jacob, Jacob, but that was his old name. God had given him a new name. Notice it says, Israel took his journey and came to Beersheba, and God spoke to Israel. Israel is his new name. It means governed by God. The Prince of God. But God, when he calls him, doesn't call him by the new name. Why? Because he's acting after his old nature. The name Jacob means heel catcher, or one who passes you by tripping your heel. Jacob, Jacob. And he said, I'm here. And he said, I am God, the God of your father. In the Hebrew, it is, I am El, the Elohim. I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt. That very command indicates that that's why he stopped. He became fearful. God said, don't fear. Don't be afraid to go down to Egypt. For I will make of you a great nation there. Now, God had promised to Abraham he was going to make his descendants just so many you couldn't count them. God had promised to make a great nation. That promise was then given to Isaac and now to Jacob, and God is repeating it. I will make of you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, the promise of God's presence with him, and I will surely bring you up again. It's not a one-way ticket. It's going to be a round trip. And Joseph will put his hand upon your eyes. So these are the things that God promised. I'll be with you. I'll make you a great nation while you're there. I'll be with you. I will bring you back again, and Joseph will put his hands upon your eyes. That put his hand upon your eyes is a reference to death. When a person dies, his eyes usually stay wide open. And so what you do is you take and pull the eyelid down over the eye and sometimes put a bit of cotton on it there to hold it down. And that was the final act of love that you did for your loved one in death, was to bring the eyelid down over the eye. Joseph will be there when you die. He'll be the one to minister to you in this way. It is interesting that when a person is dying, they so often want those that they love and those that are close to them to be by their side in death. And of course, with Jacob, his desire, no doubt, was to have his son Joseph near him in death. And God assures him, such will be the case. He'll be the one who pulls your eyelids down over your eyes. So Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones and their wives, in the carts which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. So they took their livestock and their goods, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and they went to Egypt, Jacob and all of his descendants with him. And so it gives the names of Jacob's sons. First of all, those that were born by Leah, and the names of their children, and in some cases, grandchildren. And then the sons of Zilpah, who was Leah's handmaid, and their children. And then the sons of Rachel, verse 19, and her two sons, Joseph and Benjamin, and their children. And interestingly enough, Benjamin was a pretty prolific guy. He had 10 sons. Interesting also is that in the most part, the girls are not mentioned. Only the one girl, Dinah, who was in an earlier incident, and so her name comes up for mention. And then a granddaughter is mentioned, but there no doubt were girls too, but they didn't count in those days. They count today, believe me. So all of the persons, verse 26, who went with Jacob to Egypt, that came from his body, that is, all of his descendants, not counting the girls and the wives of his son, were 66 persons. Now the sons of Joseph who were born in Egypt were 2. And so all of the persons of the house of Jacob who went to Egypt were 70. Now 70 is a good round figure that is a number that relates often to Israel. And you'll find often that God sort of rounds numbers off into symbolic numbers. And 70 is a symbolic number for Israel. It is interesting that Moses appointed 70 elders to oversee Israel. Later, when Jesus sent his disciples out, he sent out 70 disciples to go to minister to the house of Israel. In Daniel chapter 9, the angel said there are 77s that are determined upon the nation Israel. And so 70 is a number that relates to Israel. And it could be that when Jesus said to Peter, you should forgive 70 times 7, that again it could be a reference to God's forgiveness and love and all for Israel. If she'll just turn and repent, she'll find forgiveness even yet. That till the 70 times 7. It's a number that does relate symbolically to Israel in the scripture. Now God said that he would make of him a great nation there. When 400 years later they came out of Egypt, there were 600,000 adult males over the age of 20. So it is estimated that there was probably between 1,600,000 and 2 million people who made the Exodus with Moses. God made of him a great nation in the 400 years. You say, oh, that sounds impossible. Well, if you take the age of Jacob at the time that he was married and the number of descendants he had by the time he went to Israel, it was a 6% per year increase in the population of the family. Now, if you had 100 people and you had a 5% per year increase in population, in 225 years, you'd have a population of more than 2 million. So in the 400 years, it is quite likely. I mean, there's no difficulty, we should say. It was not quite likely. It did happen. And without difficulty, it doesn't take that big. You get into what they call exponential type of growth. And so the thing begins to really mushroom when you get into those exponential type of conditions. 5% a year will compound tremendously in the compounding of it. So 70 that went down, 600,000 adult males over the age of 20 who came out 400 years later. Now, he sent Judah, who was the one who volunteered to take Benjamin's place earlier, and Judah is beginning to assume a position of authority within the family, within the other brothers. He seems to show more responsibility in all than the others. Reuben is unstable as water. Simeon's got a hot temper. And so he sends Judah down ahead of them to let Joseph know that they're on the way and to direct him to the area of Goshen. Now, Goshen is the area in the Nile Delta. It was rich agricultural farmland. And that is the area where Jacob and the family were to settle. It was about 900 square miles in that area of Goshen. And so they came to the land of Goshen, and Joseph got in his chariot, and he went to Goshen to meet his father, Israel, and he presented himself to him, and he fell on his neck, and he wept for a good while. Here is this emotional, dramatic scene. Joseph, whom Jacob loved so dearly, he thought he was dead. At one time he cried, "All things are against me." He didn't know the plans that God had. And as they're there weeping on each other's shoulders, just hugging, and it's just almost more than Jacob could believe. The son that I thought was dead is not only alive, but here, you know, I'm seeing him. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful picture here. And Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are still alive." And Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "Now I'm going to go up and tell Pharaoh. And I'm going to say to him, 'My brothers and those of my father's house who were in the land of Canaan have come to me. And the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been to feed the livestock, and they've brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And so it shall be when Pharaoh calls you and says, "What is your occupation?" that you shall say, "Your servant's occupation has been with the livestock from our youth even till now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians." Now, it is true that in the Egyptian art that has been uncovered by the archaeologists, shepherds are always very dirty looking and usually crippled and all, and they were looked upon with scorn by the Egyptians. You see, Egypt at this time had the highest culture of any place in the world. And here's a bunch of hick farmers coming into this cultural area. And the culture of Egypt looked down upon shepherds. They were an abomination. They didn't want anything to do with them. No doubt, in God's plan to keep his people separate from the Egyptians, he allowed in the process of time this feeling in the hearts of the Egyptians towards shepherds, so that there would be no intermarriage or intermixing, but God could keep a pure race and a separate race, though living in the land of Egypt. But it kept a separation. Otherwise, Pharaoh would have said, "Well, come on, moving in," and there could have been a mixing of the races, and surely the family of Israel would have been swallowed up into the Egyptian, and that would have been the end of the story. And so to keep the separate race, that he might one day bring the Messiah through this race, he had placed in the Egyptians this abhorrence towards shepherds. They were an abomination. So Joseph said, "Now, look, when the Pharaoh meets you guys and says, 'Well, what kind of work do you do?' just tell him we're shepherds. That'll turn him off and you can have the land, you know, and he'll be glad to let you stay here in Goshen." And so Joseph went and told the Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brothers and their flocks and their herds and all they possess, they've come from the land of Canaan, and indeed they are now in the land of Goshen." And he took five of his brothers and he presented them to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What's your occupation?" And they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, both we and our fathers." So they said to Pharaoh, "We have come to sojourn in the land because your servants have no pasture for their flocks." Notice they didn't say we've come to dwell or we come to stay. We've only come to sojourn. The Bible tells us concerning the fathers, Abraham and all, that they dwelt as strangers and pilgrims, for they were looking for a city which had foundation, whose maker and builder is God. And they confessed that they were just strangers and pilgrims on this earth. "I don't belong to this earth. I'm just passing through. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim here. It's really sort of sad when we start feeling at home in this corrupted society. Boy, I'll tell you, more as I read the newspaper and watch TV, I realize I'm an alien. I don't belong in this mess. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim here. I'm just sojourning. I'm passing through. And one of these days, I'm going to pass on and I'm going to find that city that I'm looking for, whose maker is builder is God. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so they said, we've just come to sojourn in the land because we've run out of pasture for our flocks. The famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen. Then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, your father and your brothers have come to you, and the land of Egypt is before you. Have your father and your brothers dwell in the best of the land, and let them dwell in the land of Goshen. You can have any place you want. If they want Goshen, fine. And if you know of any competent men among them, then make them the chief herdsmen over my livestock. You know, give them a good job for the government, with the government, you know. If you know any guys that are competent. Well, at least they insisted on competent ones in those days. Then Joseph brought in his father, Jacob, and he set him before the Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Now, that's something. Here's the guy who is the king of the greatest nation of the world. And here comes in this old man who's just a shepherd, and he blesses him. Now, we are told that Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and surely the lesser is blessed by the greater. This old shepherd that God had chosen to be the father of the race that would bring the Messiah into the world is greater in the eyes of God than the king over the greatest empire in the world of that day. And so Jacob blesses the Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Jacob, how old are you? Obviously an old man at that point. And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage. Notice I'm a stranger and a pilgrim here. I'm just a pilgrim. The days of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of my years. Now, notice he says they're just a few years. Well, yes, compared with eternity. You know, if any of you live to be 130 years old, when you get to that point, you have your 130th birthday, and the press is all there to, you know, ask you the questions, how do you live so long, and get your secret for longevity and that whole bit. As you look back over the 130 years, you'll probably say, short time. You know, the older I get, the faster time goes. It seems like time is just somehow accentuating as far as speed. Now, I read a scientific explanation of that. I don't know that I like it, but it said that when you're a child, your body metabolism is going so fast that it seems that time goes slow. And that is true. When I was a little kid, man, it was eternity from Christmas to Christmas. And that's the way I measured the years. I mean, it wasn't New Year's to New Year's. It was Christmas to Christmas and birthday to birthday. But they say as you grow older and your body metabolism slows down, then it appears that everything's going faster. Well, I better get some Geritol or something because my metabolism must really be barely turning over at this point because time is just seems to be going so fast. And so think of what it would be by the time you're 130. Man, your metabolism would be slow, so slowed down that it seems like it is racing at this point, you know. Few have been my years. And evil. Haven't had a good life. Man, I've had a lot of hardship. A lot of problems. Wasn't easy. So Jacob is confessing, few and evil have been the years of my life. But I've not attained to the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Again, seeing that life is just a pilgrimage. Don't belong here. I'm passing through. There's an eternity that I am living for and looking for. The person who lives for the now is a fool. The wise man lives for eternity. Jesus said, don't lay up your treasures here on earth. They can be ripped off. Lay up your treasures in heaven, the eternal treasures, the eternal kingdom. And so his grandfather Abraham lived to be 175. His father lived to be 180. So I'm 130, but man, that's nothing compared to my dad and my granddad, you know. I haven't attained to the years of my father. Pharaoh was probably really startled at his age because 130 then would be equivalent to 130 now. I mean, you meet someone who's 130 years old, you'd be sort of awed. He went on living for another 17 years. He was 147 when he died.
Return with more of our verse-by-verse study through the book of Genesis as we continue to follow the actions of Jacob as he is brought in before the Pharaoh. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today, online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Genesis. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord be with you now and watch over you this week. May He fill you with His Spirit. May the love of Jesus Christ just abound in all things towards you. And may you be blessed of God as you walk in fellowship with Him. May God, by His Spirit, increase your faith as you study the Word. And may you grow up in all things in Christ, come into a real maturity in your walk with Him, beginning to experience the fullness of God's power, love, and blessing upon your life as you live in fellowship with Him. In Jesus' name.
Get ready to study the Bible in a whole new way. The Word for Today is pleased to present Pastor Chuck's Genesis Commentary in ebook format. This digital edition contains so much more than a printed book. Not only do you have access to Pastor Chuck's in-depth commentary, this ebook allows access to enhanced research studies by renowned Christian scholars instantly. Highlights include Hebrew and Greek word definitions, as well as images of historical maps and places just by clicking or touching your screen. An online dictionary plus highlighting, note-taking, and bookmarking parking. And everywhere Pastor Chuck shares where he learned or studied something, you now have access to those very same notes. We invite you to come along on this futuristic study in the book of Genesis. To find out how to download Pastor Chuck's Genesis commentary to your electronic device, please call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673. Or to watch a video presentation, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.